Welcome to PNP. This is your first big orientation with me. Let me just tell you, we have been so excited that you guys are coming. Like, we just couldn't wait to close the doors so that we could start getting to the point where we're actually like coaching you and doing all the things and all that kind of good stuff. Today's call is a Q&A. So if you have questions, you can post them in the Q&A box. Miss Betsy is over there in the chat, so she'll be chatting with you. And if you have like just something you just want to ask Betsy, it's just something simple, go ahead and post it over there. I don't do the chat. I only do the Q&A. So if you have anything you specifically want me to talk about, that'd be a great place to do it. Let me tell you this, though. So before we all get started, there's a couple things I want to give you as far as advice of being a newbie. Number one is you are going to overeat. Period. Some of you have already done it this weekend. A lot of you have done it several times. For those of you who binge, you're still going to binge. There is still going to be overeating. There are still going to be mistakes. Just because you joined PNP, like here's the thing that's very different about PNP than from your Weight Watchers, your ketos, your meal plans, your nutritionists and stuff. We're here to teach you how to make mistakes in your weight loss, evaluate, like tweak, try again, and get out of making your mistakes mean something's going wrong, but make your mistakes mean it's time to look at my process. So one of the things you will hear me say thousands and thousands and thousands of times in PNP is there is a difference between having a you problem, which is I overate, I must not be able to do this. There's something wrong with me. Everybody else is doing better. Like all of that means you're making your mistake become a human you problem. There's then the process problem. Process problems don't feel bad. You problems feel terrible and it's optional. Process problems is where it's like, I overate. I wonder why. Let me look into this. Let me do a recovery worksheet. What can I find out about this? If I'm overeating, that means there's something I just need to address. There's just something there, and I will keep addressing until I figure out what that is. That means there's a problem with my processes. There's a problem with my habits, and that's very fixable. When you make your overeating, your binging, or whatever, means something is wrong with you as a human, that means we've got to do lots of thought work, and then we get to work on process stuff. So my best advice to everyone is to just decide right now that because you overeat, because you don't know where your twos are, because you didn't drink your water, you overslept, you ended up having Oreos because your husband was, whatever that is, let's just skip the bullshit part where you're a failure and move straight into the part where we're going to learn from the experience and we're going to keep moving forward. Because I guarantee you, the more you stay, like we when we have to really keep working on you making it a you problem, you don't get to do the process stuff yet. That has to get fixed. Then we move over here. And I'm going to tell you, if you are a you problem kind of person, make an agreement with yourself from day one that from now on, when I catch myself wanting to do that, that I now fundamentally understand that that's not true. I'm just used to thinking that way. That is how I've been doing it, and I've just been doing that part wrong. And now I'm going to start doing the process part. That is my, seriously, the best advice. Like, if I can get you to quit beating yourself up, because here's the one thing Corinne knows. No one has ever lost weight. Sorry, guys, my nose is itching so bad. No one's ever lost weight in PNP, ever, and not had to do 200 to 300 recovery worksheets, which means that that was 200 to 300 overeats in order to lose their 50 to 100 or plus pounds. I want you to think about that. It is required to go through all of those in order to get your weight loss. What most of you are doing is you're like, no, I want to have the zero overeats. I want to have like one overeat. I want it all to be perfect. You won't want it to be perfect if you agree with yourself right now that there are no more you problems. There is only process problems. That is the best thing I'll ever be able to teach you. Okay, so now I'm going to just start with questions, and then I'm sure I will cover it all in that. Number one, water. I tend to down 24 ounces at a time, like when I get done with my compute and my urine goes clear really quickly. Is that okay? It's fine. I do the same thing. I'm a guzzler. I wouldn't worry about it. Here's how you know if it's a problem, Lauren. If you're having dizzy spells, then you're flushing out some electrolytes. But if it's just with your urine going pale, that's okay. What's the best way to start the 2-2? I feel like I have good intentions, but don't stop at my 2 because I don't feel it. I'm just used to eating more. Thanks. Start giving yourself about 3/4 of what you normally eat, Rob. I'm not sure if it's Robin, but it's Rob something. What I would do is make sure you listen to the hunger scale lesson at least 2-3 times. It's in module 1. I think it's unit 2 maybe. I'm not sure which unit it is, but if you just go to module 1 of Fresh Start in the No BS program, listen to it 2-3 times. You may even want to go to, if you want some extra like tips on how to listen more to your hunger scale, we have calls and the video replays. So this is how to best use the PNP Tribe resources. So once you've listened to, like, say, well, I've listened to all of module 1 already. Like, I have listened to the whole Fresh Start. If you go to pnptribe.com and you click on video replays, there is a category called the hunger scale. Listen to some of the coaching calls where we talk about the hunger scale and listen for all the different things that I've told people over time about it. But one of the best ways to figure out your plus two is if you're used to eating past it, serve yourself less and you don't get any more and you'll start dialing it in faster. I've lost 50 pounds before finding you. I'm an April baby. When should I join the Queen's Club? Beth, you should join now. Can you explain the difference between going off plan and overeat and a planned overeat? Going off plan means you eat something that's not on your plan. So that could be an apple. It could be a hamburger. It could be anything. An overeat is where you go past your two. You also can have an off plan overeat. So you can say like, well, I hadn't planned to have a hamburger, but we went out. Not only did I eat the hamburger, but I also overate the hamburger. So then that would be an off plan overeat. Guys, it's not that important. The main thing is just understanding like, oh, today I either overate or I ate off plan, and notice and track it so that you just have the data. Because remember, this is not going to be a you problem. This is always going to be a process problem. So you, at the end of the week, you want to see which processes the next week you want to work on the most. So if you had a lot of off plan overeats, then one of the things that you would know the next week is, it's like, okay, if I off plan overate last week, why was that happening? Was it because I wasn't planning realistically enough and I need to change that for the following week? Was it because, well, I kept telling everybody I'd just go out to eat with them. So this week I really either need to plan to go out to eat more, or I need to like plan to say no more. And I need to think about that. If it was a lot of overeats, you know, why were they happening? So that just gives you data. A planned overeat is where you, every single night is a good example, at 8 o'clock, binge. Like, you sit down and it's like you do really well all day long. And the next thing you know, it is 8 o'clock, kids going to bed, and you're sitting there with your ice cream and some potato chips, and you just start eating. So the next night, what you would do is you would plan all the potato chips, like a full-on bag, and I don't mean a little individual, a full-on bag, and your half gallon of ice cream. And you would sit, and it would be planned, and you would have it. Like, everybody's like, well, how the fuck do you lose weight when you do that? And here's how you lose weight doing that. If you just do it every night because you're frustrated and you talk yourself into it with your same old sad ass excuses and stuff, it becomes your habit and your routine and it feels like you can't stop. When you do it on purpose and you sit there with it, then your conversation in your brain is like, holy shit, are we really going to do this? Like, it's not near as fun. You don't tune out either because you know you planned it and you're very aware of what's happening when you're eating it. And that is a planned overeat. I'm gluten intolerant and I eat gluten like my life depends on it. That's awesome. Lately, I've been having digestive issues, which I think relates to gluten. If I take it off my 24-hour plan, does that mean it is not realistic? Yes. I would, in the beginning, I would just plan to have it. And then that way, you know, for sure, like at some point, you're going to get an ass full of feeling like shit. Unless your ass full has already been hit, then you start taking it back out. And you tell yourself, it's not that I can't have gluten. It's say, I'm tired of feeling like shit. Here's why I'm not having gluten. Because I don't like shit in the pants. I don't like having stomach cramps. I don't like these things. Rather than saying, oh, so unfortunate, I can't have gluten. You know, like that's what most of us do. And we forget that the story we tell about foods that we're choosing to have or not have, if you tell a restrictive story, it's going to feel like shit. If you tell yourself a story around like, no, I choose not to have it. I'm sick and tired of having crampy diarrhea. I'm sick and tired of my gas smelling so bad that I could melt the paint off the walls on someone. Those are the reasons why I'm giving up the gluten. It doesn't feel as restrictive. It feels very empowering. It feels like you made a decision that you're looking out for yourself. And that's very different than someone who's just like, I'm just one of those people who can't have it. Because the more you tell yourself it in a negative way, like it's something horrible, the more you want to eat it like your life depends on it. I started the free stuff in March. I've lost 37 pounds. I joined the tribe and I'm so excited. That's amazing, Kelly. I have a huge stomach. Like all my weight is in my stomach. Doing cardio is killing my back. Any suggestions? Don't do the cardio. Walk more. Do some kind of something that is going to not kill your back. The way your stomach's going to go down is not with cardio. The way your stomach's going to go down is you keep losing weight because you're cleaning up your eating. Weight always comes off because of how we're eating, not because of what we're doing in the gym. Is it okay to plan lunch and dinner like this? Veggies, proteins, healthy fats, or veggies, protein, healthy fats and carbs? Or must I be specific? That's okay. It's whatever you want to do. Like if you, like, let's say like some of you, anyone else getting, I'm going to let Betsy take here. Let me make sure. Oh, here, this will help. Does that mic sound better? Sorry, my good mic wasn't on. One of the things is like you can plan it that way and that's fine, because sometimes what people do is like, let's say you food prep and you like make a mix of chicken and steak and all this other stuff and your family likes to eat something different each night and you're kind of pulling together a healthy meal for your family. You can put it down like that and then each night you just pick within those. You just need to make sure that you really know what like what healthy fats you know we're going to eat. Like don't say I'm going to have healthy fats and then decide one day, well, you know, half a jar of peanut butter is a healthy fat. That's not a healthy fat. You know, a serving of peanut butter would be okay, but just make sure that when you're going to be kind of in that range, that like where you're going to be kind of, it's not that you're non-specific, but when you're not going to be as dialed as saying I'm going to have my chicken and I'm going to have some cream of spinach and I'm going to have this for dinner tonight, that you're not finagling the system. Just all we want for you guys to do when you're creating your 24-hour plan is to take you from just eating and being left in the moment to eat, to being decisive about what you're going to have in a way that feels empowering and good and take some pressure off of having to wonder what you're going to have, especially when you're in stressful moments. Can you explain the exception meals? The exception meals has a whole lesson on it in week 2. So if you want to really know about exception meals, go to module 2 and look for the one on exception meal planning. But I explain all of it in there. I'm a teacher struggling with breakfast and lunch timing due to my schedule. I'm physically hungry when I wake up, but have no appetite, if that makes sense. I would just go ahead and eat. I always hear that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but I don't really feel like eating early in the morning. I feel like I should be eating a good breakfast to prevent overeating in the evening. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Whether, like, I could go and not eat all day long and still not overeat at night because your two doesn't change. Doesn't matter how empty your stomach is. You're still going to be at a 2. What most of you do is you overeat because you start telling yourself and stuff like, well, I hadn't ate all day. I can have a little more. Or you're like frantic because you didn't eat and you feel like that's an emergency. So you eat too fast. Like guys, it doesn't matter if you've gone 2 hours or 30 hours since you ate your last meal, your 2 never changes. Your stomach is about the size of my fist. It doesn't change if you get extra hungry. It's not like you suddenly have a stomach this big with all this space. It's this big and that's all you get. If you want, like, what will prevent overeating at night has nothing to do with what you eat for breakfast. What will prevent overeating at night is you saying, I don't overeat at night anymore, regardless of how hungry I am,
regardless of what happened during my day, regardless of my stress, regardless of what's presented in front of me, whether it is a cheeseburger, pizza, or a salad. I don't overeat anymore. And the more you guys start telling yourselves and identifying as, I am just someone who doesn't overeat, period. You may not believe it, but you'll never believe it if you don't start telling yourself that story over and over and over again. I'm struggling with eating my plan. I am an extremely picky eater and don't like many vegetables at all. My diet mostly consists of starches, breads, and potatoes, more or less. I don't like a lot of healthy foods, which makes it hard to figure this part of my journey out. Well, you shouldn't be struggling with eating your plan. Your plan should have the things you like on it. If you're struggling with your plan, it's because you're putting things on there you don't like. So if you don't like vegetables, I don't know why you keep putting vegetables on there. Here's what I would do. If you want to be a healthier eater, then you agree to try one vegetable this week, and that is the one you put on your plan, and you have it on your daily plan each day, and you have a 2-bite rule. Like, take it all the way back to how I do Logan. Like, Logan has a 2-bite rule. Whenever I make a new vegetable, or we have a new fruit, or we have a new anything, I'm always like, take 2 bites. And you don't get to prejudge them. And you don't get to sit there and be like, I don't know. Like, I'm like, no. Like, you're going to be a grown-up about this. And he's 16. And I'm like, we're going to be a grown-up about it. There's, you know, worse things that can happen in the world besides making a vegetable and trying it twice and not having a shit fit about it. That is how you start retraining yourself. One of the things that I would do is anything that you do like that's a vegetable, start planning that and then have one that you introduce each week. Just one. I wouldn't do a lot, especially because you're a picky eater. When it comes to the breads and the potatoes and stuff, make them as healthy as you can. So it should be like a real potato. It should be whole grain bread. Those things you want, what you want to do with your mouth. So guys, this is just so for all my picky eaters, your tongue is the one thing your entire life can be retrained within a matter of 2 to 3 weeks. A lot of picky eaters, your brain is what gets you in your way. You think you're picky. You think you're this. You're thinking that. It's like, that is a thought. It is not a fact. Every tongue can be retrained. That is a fact. That is actual science. So if you want to retrain it, you have to start introducing it some new foods. But I wouldn't do them all at once. I would get your brain wrapped around the idea that it is okay to introduce some new foods. And so you try things slowly and make sure you chew them up really well. But you won't be struggling with your plan if you quit planning things you don't like. Start planning the things you like and you eat them 2 to 2, and you do not eat when you're not hungry, period. We do not get any emotional eats, just like everybody else. Should we be journaling every day in addition to the 24-hour plan? You can. It's not required right now. The only thing that's required is that you do the 24-hour plan and the assessment. The assessment is enough journaling for right now. Now, if you're already a journaler and you want to be a journaler and all that kind of stuff, you can use the back half of the planner. But we purposely wait a few weeks before we start introducing all of that, because right now I want you focused on doing your 24-hour plan, and then I just want you answering those assessment questions and learning just how to open your brain up a little bit. That is the purpose behind it. Guys, some of you are asking, can anyone see my comments? I think so. Make sure that everything goes to all panelists, not to me, because I'm not watching the comments. I'm watching the Q&A. So if you don't do to all panelists, Betsy won't see your comment, and I'm not reading the individual ones. Yesterday, in an attempt to be realistic, I put every food under the sun that I would normally eat on a Saturday. I didn't eat even half of it. Is that an okay way to work the system? That is actually the way the system is intended to work. Because here's what I want you to notice. Most of the time, what y'all do is you do eat everything under the sun on a Saturday, and then you wake up on Sunday morning feeling like bullshit because you're like, oh, another day that I like just binged out and, you know, whatever, ate like a crapper. Once you're doing it deliberately, it just sucks the oxygen out of the room a little bit. It's like, oh. Like, I'm really got all these big goals to lose weight. I didn't realize that eating all this is what I've been doing. That's the whole purpose. The recovery worksheet is something to print out, add on the No BS workbook. I can't find it in it. Yes, the recovery worksheets I think there is recovery worksheets. Betsy, will you let me know in the comments? I tell you what, just text me, Betsy, and that way I can read it here and I won't have to look in the comments. The recovery worksheet, I think, is in the No BS book. Hang on, I'm trying to get that. Well, I'll get Betsy up when she texts. The recovery worksheet is in there, but we also have them on, if you'll go to toolkit and pnptribe.com, just click on toolkit, all worksheets, you will see the recovery worksheet along with the 2-minute drill. So here's the difference between the two. And the lesson and the fresh start talks all about them. The recovery worksheet is the full-on version. I highly recommend doing the full-on version if you're ready to get over your overeats. If you are a binge eater, it is great. The 2-minute drill is for those of you, like when you are short on time, when you, it's just something quick. If you are more likely to not do it because it's so like, because this one's going to take you 5 to 10 minutes, then 2-minute drill is for you to get you like your appetite wet for it. It narrows it down really fast. The important thing is that if you would like to stop overeating, you will not come up with an excuse to not do them. I tell all the girls, will you please just print them off? You need to have them ready, because when you have an overeat, the last thing you're going to want to do is go print one. You're going to want, that will be the gateway to set, like making this a you problem. If you have your recovery worksheets printed, the purpose of the worksheet is to show you this is not a you problem. This is a habit we can break. This is a trigger situation that we can break. And Betsy says it's in the workbook. I also linked to the worksheets page in the chat for you guys. Hey, Betsy, let's also just link in the show notes for this call on when we finish. Hi, I'm so thankful to be a part of the tribe. Would you explain how to use my exception plan part of the weekly plan, please? I'm not sure what I should be focusing on for that. Yeah, that. So the weekly plan and the exception stuff all comes in module 2, guys. I know there are a few things in the planner that you don't get week 1, but the most important things are in the week 1 materials. If it's not in there yet, just leave it blank. What I want for you is making 24-hour plans, and I want you dialed into your hunger scale. Those are like the 2 most important things that you can be doing this week with your water and your sleep. We really focus on the 4 basics for a reason. What I mean, I could have given you every single thing that goes through that planner, but guys, your week 1 materials would take you a month to get through. So we narrow it down. So just leave the things, if you're unsure, just leave it blank. Don't worry about, like, you can have some blank spots. For all of you who are like, I'm a perfectionist, I can't do that. Guess what? You get to practice doing something you don't want to do. Welcome to change. Welcome to be like, what? Like, this will help you with your food eventually, because you will be like, oh, I can't do it perfectly. Guess I'm going to learn how to just keep doing things when it's not perfect. But that's the way it's all designed. And that exception plan part, that's next week. Since listening to the podcast and hearing how not to be restrictive, how do I get over the restricted diet idea when I'm a type 1 diabetic and that in and itself is so restrictive? So that's a thought. Being a type 1 diabetic doesn't mean you're restricted. Let me blow your mind. I find myself reaching for things I cannot have because I'm not supposed to have it. Yeah. Like, I want you to see it. So it's not restrictive because you're still eating it. You're a type 1 diabetic. Your body needs these kinds of foods and doesn't need these kinds of foods. But it's still a choice whether or not you listen to your body or not. Right now you're listening to your emotions around being deprived because of your thoughts. Well, I can't have that. It's like, sure you can. You debunk that all the time when you overeat, when you eat off plan. You're not restricted at all. It's still just a choice. You get to think about your type 1 diabetes any way you want. It's like, I'm a type 1 diabetic. This eating protocol would be so good for me. This is the one that works for a type 1 diabetic. Like, sitting around and thinking this is a bad thing, what it does is it makes you restrict. It makes you feel terrible, makes you do these things, and then you do the opposite. So, like, I just want you to kind of see that your thoughts are just not true. A type 1 diabetic can eat any damn way they want. You're proving that true right now. So now we just want to get you to want to eat the way that makes you feel your best. Right now, you're eating in a way that proves your thought that, like, well, I don't feel my best. So now I'm going to eat some shit that makes me not feel my best. I don't feel my best because I'm a type 1 diabetic, and that's so unfair. I can't have all these foods, blah, 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 blah. So I just want you to see that. So from now on, I want you to work on the idea of it's not a restrictive diet at all. It's a choice. And time again, I get to choose whether I'm on it or not. And that's it. If you will live in that, you will find that you will eventually start making different choices. You will not feel at the effect of it. You will understand you still have control. Can you please walk me through what a PNP day should look like? So what I advise people to do is 2 minutes in the morning should be spent on planning your 24 hours. So you wake up, 24-hour plan, 2 minutes, I'm done. I don't do that anymore. I go live my life. I eat the food that I wrote down at the end of the night. Oh, by the way, I drink a lot of water during the day. At the end of the night, I take 2 to 5 minutes to compare what happened and answer those questions. And then I make sure I get 7 to 9 hours of sleep. That is PNP life. Now, when you're driving, when you are doing other things, or if you want to schedule out a little time, you look at like, what's my next video? It's a 20-minute video. Where in the next couple of days can I watch a 20-minute video? Or where in the next couple of days do I have 20 minutes to listen to the private member podcast? For the no BS, that's it. Like this call, every other call that we're going to have, all the replays and all that kind of stuff, bonus. I would not even plan it until you get to where you're really good at making sure you're showing up for no BS. You're writing down your 24-hour plan. So like realistically, 7 minutes spent on planning a day, that's your planning and assessing. You eat what's on there. If you need to do a recovery worksheet, 2 to 5 minutes long. If you overeat, and then whatever the videos are, this is how I would do it. I would like look and say like, all right, what's the next lesson? Oh, it's 20 minutes long. So where in the next day or so can I get 20 minutes to watch that lesson? Check. All right. What's the next lesson? Oh, it's 10 minutes long. Where can I get 10 more minutes? And that's how I would do it. I'm new. What is 2 to 2? Where do I find it in OBS? Week 1. So if you will go to module 1, go to pnptribe.com, click on the no BS. Make sure you've done your orientation first, Meg. Go through orientation first, okay? Just to make sure that you have all the tools. Your first emails from us, we sent you 2 emails and both of them wanted you to go through orientation. So once you go through orientation, the very last video explains the no BS and then you'll start no BS. No BS week 1 or module 1, I keep calling it week 1 because that's what we're in, but module 1 has the hunger scale and 2 to 2 in it. 2 to 2 will be within the hunger scale lesson. Christina, you know, I used to know a girl, your name is Christina Keys. When I had Logan, there was a friend of mine who was pregnant. Her name was Christine Keys. And her daughter was born just like a few days before Logan. It's just, I don't know. That just jumped out at me. Can you talk about late night eating? I tend to eat snacks. Like, don't even think about it or just say, fuck it, neat. April baby here. Yeah, Christina, they should be on your plan. You need to plan your fuck it eats. Seriously. Everybody, repeat after me. I will from now on plan all fuck it eats. So if you're fuck it eating at night, whatever you eat, whether it is cookies, nuts, ice cream, chips, anything, you put that in your plan. There should not be any more fuck it eating, guys, because you guys should be over planning right now. I want everybody to be over planning. I want you to plan so realistically that your brain cramps and is like, there's no way I could lose weight doing this. That is how it should feel. It should be like, oh my God, there's no way that I could lose weight doing this, but I trust the system. That bitch has gotten so much weight off people. This must work. I don't need to know why it works. You know what I need? For it to work. Um, Throwing food away. Can I start by giving away the food and level up to throwing away? Yes. Whether you throw it away or you give it away, I don't care how you do it. Just get it away from you. If I have a snack planned but not hungry, is this an overeat? Yes. Anytime you eat when you're not hungry, guys, it's called overeating, even if you plan it. Okay? I just want it on the plan, though, so that you're triggered to be like, am I hungry? Because that's the whole purpose of planning. But then the next level is like, I got this planned snack. I need to start questioning myself. Why would I choose to eat something I'm not hungry for, even when it's planned? Let's see. I'm in the comments just asking quick questions. Robin, you need to be answering them here in the Q&A. I was in the Zoom call yesterday and asked a question. I am not getting any responses. Am I doing something wrong? No. As long as you're putting them here in the Q&A, you're doing it right. And I just answered it. Alcohol is more of a struggle for me than food. Any advice? Everything that I say in the No BS where I talk about food, you substitute alcohol. It literally works exactly the same way. You're going to plan realistically. You're going to figure out that you need to start questioning yourself on what would a two look like? What would that feel like? You want to do the same thing with the booze. Is it okay to put two choices on a plan if you're unsure where you will be eating? Perfectly fine. When I make my realistic 24-hour plan, I know I can't eat things that aren't on my plan. Not eating something that is on the plan. Wait a minute. I know I can't eat things that aren't on my plan. Not eating something that is on the plan considered going off plan. No. If you don't eat something because you're not hungry, it's fine. My name is Jeannie. I'm 53. I'm a new member. Coming on board in maintenance. Need to lose the heavy mental weight and solidify good choices for success in maintenance. I'm so tired of not feeling good enough. In the orientation video, you mentioned importance of taking initial stats with the goal of losing weight. What are some good ideas for measurements for starting points? If only I could snap a pic of my negative self-talk. You can snap a pic of your negative self-talk. It's really easy. Take out a piece of paper and write what you think about yourself right now. All the things that I think about myself, honestly, not the ones that you want to think one day. Just like if I was just going to tell the honest story about what I think about myself, the reason why I'm here in PMP is to change all of these things. That can be your before picture. I think that would be really amazing for a lot of you to do. We don't do it as an exercise, but for those of you who are here to shed some mental weight, I think that that would be very beneficial. I would think about, like, if you're here to lose your mental weight, what mental weight are you carrying right now? So that in a few months, you can rewrite that same thing and see the stark difference. Because those of you who will do all the work over the next, like, few months, you're going to see the inner self-talk, the confidence, the belief in yourself, the relationships in your lives start significantly changing. Because that is what we work the most on. Because when we start lowering the temperature of how terrible all that feels, you don't need the food as much. Breaking the habits of eating is so much easier when you're not feeling drawn to the eating to escape your self-talk, to escape your life, and to escape your circumstances. I've been binging on cookies for 3 days. As I question myself and dig into why, this thought makes it to the surface. I don't believe I can do this or finish this. I've lost 53 pounds so far with 30 left. I was surprised by this thought, but it felt true. I have proof I can, but keep getting in my own way. What I would start telling myself is one of the things that we're going to talk about in a few weeks that you can start practicing now is, I don't believe I can finish this, is a thought I keep telling myself. Is something that I've realized I want to change. Like if you start adding that at the end, and like I would tell, like before you grab the cookies each time, or even right after you've ate the cookies or while you're eating the cookies, say, the reason why I'm eating is because I have been telling myself that I don't think I can finish this. And that is what I'm going to be working on in PNP. What it does, it's punky. What it does is it starts telling, your brain stops making the connection that that is a truth, and it starts connecting it to, oh, like this is a thought. This isn't just something I believe. This is something that it, on the inside, if I believe this, I can also believe something else. Your brain has to get the door cracked that like, woo, you mean some of this bullshit I've been telling myself isn't just like a fact? It's like, no, it's not. Like, we actually can, like the girl with a type 1 diabetes, thinking that it's restrictive. To her, that's a fact. To me, it's like, no, it's not restrictive at all. You have choice. You show all the time that you can be type 1 diabetic and eat this stuff. You may feel like shit. It may not be healthy, and it may not help you live a long time, but you for fuck sure can do it. People do it every day. So it's not restrictive. And if you want to feel your best and you want to live a long time and stuff, you would just eat this way, which is no different than anybody else on the face of the earth. Her protocol just happens to support type 1 diabetes. The rest of us, in order to feel our best, lose our weight and whatever, we're all going to have our own sets of things. None of it's restrictive. Ain't a soul in here restricted. Here's the thing. A lot of you think restriction is bad. I think restriction is good. Like, I like to restrict myself from negative self-talk. I like to restrict myself from eating some things that are going to make me have crampy diarrhea. If you want to like restriction, you can. It's how you define it is the real thing. And we're going to talk a lot about that in a few weeks. Right now, I just want all of you to believe that you're going to make a 24-hour plan. You're going to figure out what feels best in your body. You're also going to figure out what doesn't feel best in your body. You're also going to figure out what things you're doing doesn't feel good mentally either. And we're going to start restricting ourselves from the very things that cause us to beat the shit out of ourselves over and over and over again. Do you have a recommendation for someone who has a scheduled lunch? I'm a teacher, and if I don't eat at the scheduled time, I won't be able to eat until later. What I would do, you're not hungry yet. What I would do is I would tweak the meal before lunch. For all my people that work shifts and stuff, I just always tell you, go ahead and eat during that time. You may not be hungry yet, and that's okay. What I would do is just make sure that you're eating to a two. You're not overeating. And I would back whatever meal is prior to that, eat a little less so that you will be hungry by that meal. That gets you used to being hungry for your meals. But it will take time. Don't be trying to do this like, I tried it for 3 days and it didn't work. Like, give it 3 weeks and you will get into a rhythm. Looking over my calendar for next week, can you give us a brief overview of what Taking Big Ass Action Q&A and Member Makeover is? Thanks. Yeah, so the Taking Big Ass Action Q&A is just a Q&A call that will be tomorrow night. Where is that? Is tomorrow night Q&A? Shit, hang on, let me look. I know I have something tomorrow night. Yeah, all right, so it's just a Q&A where I'm going to be taking questions on how to take action. Like, how do I do things? How do I get over my mental bullshit around doing things? That is the course this month for the tribe, the ones that were already in the tribe. You guys do not have to go through that course and watch the workshop and all this other kind of stuff. It's nice and beneficial. And what it will do is it will help you like take some action this month that you may not want to. So the whole course this month is designed around doing things that you've always told yourself you don't want to do, and how do you do that? So if you want to go back and listen to that, it's fine. If you don't, you just want to listen to the Q&A and just say like, well, what is she going to be answering questions on? What is she going to tell the tribe? You can do that. Or if you want to skip that part, you can do that. All of this will be self-contained in that course and will be there for you for the lifehood of your PNP life. So you don't have to worry about missing anything. The member makeover is what we do the third week. So every month as a PNP tribe member, once you get through the newbie stage, each month I release a course. The first Monday is a live workshop with me where we learn the stuff and you get a little workbook or something that goes along with it. Week two is the Q&A around the stuff we're doing. Week three is member makeover, where we take three people that we've hand selected who are struggling with different aspects of whatever we're teaching. And I coach them, and all of you can watch. And then week four is where we have a video of tribe members who are doing it well, who share their best tips, tricks, and secrets. And we all watch it together as a watch party inside of Facebook. And we release it to the tribe in the private member podcast and all that kind of stuff. You guys will see this content this month, but I just want you to remember, no BS is your priority. That is the only priority. Every other call you see, every other thing you see, is completely optional. You do not need that to lose weight. I know listening to me is fun and stuff. And for some of you, you can take all the content. It won't overwhelm you. For some of you, it's like, whoa, you just need to go to No BS. If you go to pnptribe.com, look at the top. It'll say No BS Success Path. You click there, module one, unit one, and you go in order and you check it off as you do each one. That is all you're responsible for. That's it. I promise you, we have girls, when they first join, they never do anything other than No BS. They come to no calls. They listen to nothing else and they lose weight. And then they start layering in other stuff. So you get to take this pace any way you want. I have had huge leaps just in the past couple of days where chains have truly been broken. I feel free, happy, peaceful, and relaxed. Is this common? Yeah. It's not the excitement. This is so true, deep-seated issues that I have healed now that I'm open to the process. Yeah, you won't lose this. Like, I don't want to lose this. How about saying there's no reason for me to lose it? Rather than sitting and being afraid that you're going to lose it, I want you to say, like, and there's no reason that I will lose this. I'm going to enjoy this, and I'm going to build upon it. I have an obsession with my scale. Do I need to do a Hello Scale worksheet every time I weigh myself, which is every morning? No, you only need to do it on Friday. But every morning when you wake, when you get up and you get on the scale, here's what I want you to tell you. This number is completely irrelevant because the only one that counts is Friday. That's my trend. Like, you need to say that literally before you get on it each time. Because if you are obsessed with the scale, you need to start realizing that it's a trend marker. It is not a daily, like, I'm doing things right marker. You know what you need to be obsessed with? The things you're doing each day. Like, I would love it for you to just be like, before I get on the scale, I write down everything that I did yesterday that promotes weight loss. That is your indicator of success because the scale can't move unless that shit's going down. Most of us, what we do is we want that scale to validate all of that. And it's like, look, if you're doing things, there's going to be days the scale doesn't reflect it, but your actions eventually will have the scale moving. I have a you problem. Is there a quick trick to change the thought quickly before it spirals and grows in the moment? Example at work. I can't TDL right away. Yeah, you just say, I refuse to have a you problem. Like, what I'm thinking right now, I refuse to be having a you problem. Like, as you catch it spiraling, you just need to say, what's the process problem? Like, sometimes asking the right question helps snap that. But I would just say, like, there's no you problem. We don't do that anymore. Like, a lot of you are going to have to take a firm hand with yourself and be like, okay, I don't get to make fun of my body anymore, out loud or internally. And when I catch myself doing it, I stop, dead stop. And I tell myself something nice, or I at least tell myself, and that is something I never say or think anymore. The more you do that, your brain starts catching on that we're doing something new. I'm trying to figure out the difference between an exception food and a joy food. They are the same. We just changed the language in the, a year ago. There's just podcasts out there about joy food. The way I'm interpreting is a joy food might be ice cream once a week, something I enjoy, but don't eat, often. An exception, not too sure. It's the same thing. Same thing. It just, an exception or joy just means these are the things I typically wouldn't eat to lose weight. Some of you in the early days of your, like, losing weight, you're still like me. Like, when I was losing my weight, ice cream was just part of my thing. You eventually get to where, like for me now, ice cream is considered an exception. But back in the day, ice cream wasn't. You'll grow and you'll evolve. It just, like, there's no hard and fast rules around this. This is going to be the hardest thing to wrap all your brains around. It's like, I'm so used to diets that tell me exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's been the problem. You've had all these diets that would tell you you can only do these things. And then you got to where you just couldn't just do those things. And now we're going to really learn how to plan for ourselves. Trust me, it works. Any advice on how to politely handle that friend who wants to give you daily advice on why keto is the way? Yeah, you listen to them. And you shake your head and be like, that sounds so great. I could see why you love that. That's what I would do. I wouldn't argue. I wouldn't debate. And I wouldn't let it bother me. I'd just be like, amen. You should do that. Like, I would just be like, you should definitely do that. And if they are doing it and feel like, I'm so proud of you, get after it. And that would be the end of the conversation for me. Like, I would just smile and giggle and yay. because you're in your lane. Why do you care what lane they're in? Why do you care if they want you in their lane? I would just be like, they're just trying to help me, but I know what I'm doing. Trying to figure out my plus two. Sometimes if not having any hunger symptoms 3 to 4 hours after I'm hitting it. Sometimes I stop and I'm experiencing physical symptoms again in an hour or two. Does that mean I wasn't at a two? Yeah. Like, first of all, Debbie, it's going to take time. Y'all, finding your plus two takes a while, like about a month or two before you're like pretty dialed in to where you know where it is. This is not like, oh, today I know. And now I listened to Corinne's video on it and I'm sold. Most of you are going to take a little while. It's going to take some playing around with and stuff. Some foods, you're going to notice it's easier to find your two than others. Like for me, I can eat nuts and I'm like going to town and I don't find my two until like, I'm like, oh, it's like a gut in my, you know, like a rock in my gut. Some, like a salad, I can find my plus two easier because the food is so voluminous and like so full of fiber. It comes on, you know? So what I would do is I would just like, if you kind of know that you're in the rhythm of your plus two when you're able to wait at least 3 to 4 hours before physical hunger hits. If it's happening sooner, there's two things that could be happening. One, you're not eating something that has like, it's more processed than it has like real food components. So like there's a difference between hitting your plus two with hummus and carrots than hitting your plus two with a protein bar is a good example. And if you hit your plus two with hummus and carrots will last you longer than usually like a protein bar. So you'll start noticing that stuff. And what you can do is you can start planning differently and you can just decide, well, I really like my protein bars. I want to keep them. So if it only holds me for 2 hours, then I know that I'm going to just maybe wait three anyway, like whatever you want to do. You get to do whatever you want. I just want you to be. The biggest thing about the food and the plus two and the minus two is shifting from thinking there's a right or wrong and shifting into being like really curious about what's going on, being willing to play with things, being willing to experiment and to drop the idea that there's a perfect way to do it. There's one way to do it. I want the rule on how to do it. I want you guys to quit relying on rules around food. I mean, that's the fucking bottom line. We have to quit being on the constant search that food has rules. We want to be like, I just want food to be easy. And not easy because I've tuned out of my body and given up, but easy because I've dropped the rules. And I know and trust and believe that when I'm eating, I have my own back. I have my best interest in mind at all times. That's when it becomes easy. And that's when you're not on the search for the rules all the time. Why was I so excited doing the 24-hour plan, listening to podcasts, and not counting Weight Watcher points? Now that I've joined, I feel stuck. I can't get motivated. Don't want to do the 24-hour plan and have that last supper, even though I said I wasn't going to. It just happens. You just need to be aware of it. You need to get on your 24-hour plan. This is one of those things. It's like, who gives a fuck why? Seriously, why do you care that now it's not as exciting? No, before it was exciting was because you didn't have to do the work. Now it's not as exciting. It's like, oh, now I have to do it. So there you go. There's your answer. So now get out a piece of paper, like go find a piece of paper and make your 24-hour plan and don't make any excuses. You've got 2 minutes. And that includes finding paper and pen. Joy, can you see us on camera? No. Or can we only see you? You can only see me. If so, I should go put on a bra. That's amazing. I haven't gotten to the video yet about plus two or minus two. What does that mean? That is the hunger scale video. Betsy, will you text me and tell me which lesson that is, which unit that is? It's module one of the No BS Success Path. And I think the hunger scale it's unit two. So you'll watch the introduction. First, the next lesson will be all about the hunger scale. My coworker and I both listened to the podcast. I joined the tribe, but she wasn't able. I've lost 21 pounds since February the 15th. She's wanting to check in several times a week on our progress, but she's really struggling and I'm having success. I can tell she's getting discouraged. Any tips on how to support her while not feeling awkward telling her what I'm doing? Just tell her what you're doing. Just like, oh, Corinne said this amazing thing. And help her. What's the problem? That's what I would do. And you don't feel bad that if she's struggling, that's not because of you being inside the tribe. You know why she's struggling? Because she thinks she's missing out. Just tell her, like, that's some bullshit. You still have the podcast. We were doing great. And I'll tell you some stuff I'm doing. Like, you can't go print the workbook and give it to her. But if you want to tell her, like, oh, Corinne said this amazing thing, or Corinne said this or whatever, tell her. This shit ain't so private that I don't care if you guys share that stuff. Seriously, help your friends. If you have friends that couldn't join the tribe, y'all help them. Because here's what I know. When you help your friends, I know one thing, you'll listen to my content better and you'll be helping yourself. And then when you share it with someone, this is what I really know, because this is how I learn. I learn something, like let's say I listen to Corinne and stuff. If I go teach it to Kathy, then I have like solidified it in this brain. The progress on my side is going to like accelerate like a big dog. So teach it to your friends. That's like a lot of our girls, they teach this shit to their husbands and their kids. That's actually unit 4 is the hunger scale, guys. Speaking of off-plan eats and overeats, when would you suggest we do recovery worksheets? When to just document it on our assessment? I would do like, this is what I always tell people. Ask yourself, how fast do I want to lose weight? How quickly would I like to quit overeating? As fast as you want to do that is how often I would get those recovery worksheets done. The more you do, the faster that shit ends. Because every overeat is going to teach you the next thing you're supposed to be learning. That's what most of you guys forget, is that overeats are teaching you the next little thing you're supposed to learn. They're not there to shame you, and they're not there to show you you're broken. And they're not there to do all that kind of shit. They're supposed to be like, oh, I didn't realize when my husband eats Oreos that I'm super tempted and I end up just giving in because of my thoughts about how I'm feeling left out. Well, that was a new one. Like, I mean, and then like you might continue to eat the Oreos until you figure out what's the right thing to think. What's the right setup for me? It might take 10 instances with that. As fast as you want that problem to end is as many worksheets as you'll do. This morning I had to leave for church, but wasn't at my -2 yet. I ate what was on my plan because if I didn't, I wouldn't have eaten for a few hours. Was that an overeat? I need to process. I would consider it an overeat, and here's what I would do. Consider it an overeat because you just want to track when you're eating when you're not hungry, not because you did something bad. Now, I think that's a big thing for all of you, is to remember we're doing all of this so that we can track and have data and just start seeing patterns of how often am I preventative eating so that I don't get hungry? Am I ready this week to just be like, you know what? I'm not going to eat and just see what happens. Like, I'm going to be really honest with you guys. I have been going since 5:30 this morning. Corinne ain't had a meal yet. I got coaching at 2:00. There's 142 questions. I'm probably not going to get a chance to eat. I could have ate this morning, but I just had things to do. But you know what happens in my brain? I have done this for so long that I have told myself, even if I haven't ate, it's not an emergency. I'm not going to die or get pregnant. And here's the one thing I for sure know. I will tell myself before I eat that we don't get bonus food because we went a while. I always, like, I still to this day tell myself that if I've gone a long time without eating, I just say, no bonus food. Your stomach is still this big. I have this internal conversation every single time, guys. That is why in 14 years I'm in maintenance. It is not because I'm just sitting around on my, you know, ivory tower and I've got it all down. No, I am willing to have a conversation with myself internally before my next meal so that when I go into my next meal, I'm focused on it being healthy and I'm not gobbling and I'm not eating out of like, you know, oh, all my old thoughts. If I do it, I know for sure every one of you need to be doing it. If I plan a plan to overeat and then when the time comes, I'm able to resist. Well, I don't want you resisting. Should I do it anyway to stick with the plan? Here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to like take a moment. I will no longer ever, ever, ever say the word resist with food ever again. I don't want to teach you how to resist doing it. That means like, no, 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 I shouldn't. here's what I want you to be. I want you to be like, it's time for it to come. I'm choosing not to. Choosing not to is not resisting. Choosing not to is empowering yourself to rise up to the challenge of not having it. Resisting means I shouldn't have it, and I'm going to sit here and make myself not do it. And that feels harder. Choosing not to and being willing to think and feel whatever comes up is a very different experience. And I want to teach you guys how to never resist food ever again, how to always know you are in the driver's seat. You were the one making the choice. I've been weaning myself off the vanilla creamer with coffee in the morning since starting to listen to the podcast. I am now using Atkins protein vanilla shake to use in my coffee, about half a cup with a total of 2 cups of coffee. Is it fine? Yep, it's your belly, it's your body, it's your food. If you like that, then that's what I would be planning. Can you recommend a way to remind ourselves to drink water? You just never not have it next to you, ever. No excuses. Keep a small bottle in every purse you own. Keep a bottle in your car. I have a case of water in my closet in my office so that I don't even have to walk downstairs and use the bullshit excuse. I don't feel like going downstairs to get some water. If you said you feel like you need an electric shock from your iWatch, then yeah, set your timer on your phone to go off every hour, and you know you have to drink at least 3 to 4 things. Like, you just have to drink at that point. Some of these questions, guys, if you notice I don't read your exact questions, I'm skipping because we've already talked about it. Just remember, all exception joy food things will be talked about in module 2. Can you please talk about realistic planning on vacation? I'm going on a cruise next Sunday and I've been mentally pre-gaming, but feel like I need more control than good, better, best, hunger scale only. What I would do is I would visualize yourself using good, better, best and the hunger scale only between now and then. And then when you get on vacation, you create a 24-hour plan each day when you kind of know what you might be doing. Like, once you're on the cruise, you're going to know what foods are offered and what you're willing to eat and what you're not willing to eat. And you realistically plan for the day. With the protocol, this is all module 2 stuff, guys. Do you list specific foods you still eat? In the example, it says proteins, fats, carbs. Blah. For example, if I still eat a small bag of chips sometimes with a sandwich for lunch, does that get listed? It just, yep, chips. Like, I would just put chips on my protocol. Like mine has pop chips on it. Like, I list out the things that I like to have. Just like, I love, this is the thing that I want you guys to think about. A lot of you are like, well, I don't want to list all that food out. And I'm like, why not? You know what I want to see on my protocol? A lot. Like, oh my God, the options are endless for the queen. Look at all the things. Like, I love to put, like, I'll put the general categories like proteins, healthy fats, blah, blah, blah. Then when it comes to like the more, like what I would call not necessarily fun food, but it's not your perimeter shopping necessarily. It's just like the things, like my Weight Watcher pizzas, my pop chips, my Subways and all that stuff. I love listing all that out. You know why? It makes me excited. Because I get to see, like, whoop, look at me. I'm in control. My protocol is just a bounty of things that I love. This is why I lost my weight, so that I could eat all these things and prove that you can eat like this and you can have your weight loss too. Like, I want you guys thinking about it like that. Your protocol is not some kind of restriction. Wah, wah, wah. That's not what it is. It's your opportunity to see that all of these things can be planned smartly, intelligently, and you get to choose. And then as you get healthier and stuff, some of those things don't cut the mustard anymore. Like for me, like the ice cream isn't on my daily protocol anymore. Guys, this is module 2, so don't like flip your wigs. But it's like for me, I don't need it on my daily protocol anymore. Just don't. Just plan it when I want it, as an exception. And that's fine. It's all about teaching you how to feel empowered around your food, guys. What's the best way to start incorporating healthy fats? I would have avocados with salad. I would cook with olive oils. I would do that. Guys, I would take, like, some of these questions I'm going to tell you, I would take them to the Facebook group and ask them, because this is amazing discussion questions. And you will hear the wisdom from the tribe members where they will tell you, like, these are the things that we did. How do you feel about fasting? Well, right now I'm going to tell you, I'm starving right now. I'm like, fasting sucks. I'm not hungry in the morning and can just do coffee or Bulletproof until 12. I think that's fine. I try to stop between 7 and 8. I think that's great. If that's working for you, then do that. Can the Just Ask Kathy No appointment be used to coach about an issue? Yes. Ask the office hours with Kathy and the office hours with Betsy. Y'all can come in there and you get coached on anything you want. Any suggestions to stop grab-assing food during prep time? That is for sure a question I would post in the tribe. My biggest suggestion is plan your grab-assing. If you will, Betsy, we need a whole category in the video replays on just all my grab-assing calls and stuff because we coach on it all the time. But my best advice, put a plate on your counter when you're prepping. Everything that you want to grab ass goes on the plate. Then after you're done prepping, you get to eat all of it. And let's just see if you want it. Say it is lunch at work. You're not hungry, but you know you'll be by the end of the day. If you do not eat, just eat a sensible lunch to avoid getting to the hangry point. Yeah, you can do that. Or you can just start training yourself that when you're extra hungry, that you choose not to be hangry anymore. You might actually overeat a few times, but wouldn't it be amazing if you could just get to where life could happen, you miss a meal, and it's not a panic mode anymore. You get to decide how you want to practice that. Just like me today. Like, I just choose not to be somebody who gets hangry anymore. And I'm going to tell you right now, my stomach is flat growling. I get stuck in not bringing in old diets, but honestly, having no sugar, no flour really helped to lose and be less inflamed, which means I felt a hell of a ton better, but it's from a previous more restrictive diet. You can still do it. What I would suggest in the beginning, Lee, is rather than going completely no sugar, no flour, if you don't feel ready for it, start dropping the sugar and flour things that you may have now that you don't feel like you need to have all the time. Start with like saying, all right, these things no longer cut the mustard for me. I'm on the path starting to feel better. I'm ready to let go of these things. These things I'm going to keep for now. Let's see. Content overload. Should I ditch SCS? For those of you who don't know what that is, that's somebody who's in another program called Self-Coaching Scholars. Already, as I suspected, a year of content goes beyond. I don't know, Marta. I can't tell you to drop Self-Coaching Scholars just because I love Self-Coaching Scholars and I'm a coach over there. I coach once a month for Brooke for an hour, but you're here. So what I would do is make sure that you're going through the no BS. Don't worry about the rest of my content. Like if you want to balance the two, what I would do is I would make sure that you're really focused on the no BS content first and foremost, and then start planning. Like this is the month of planning. So make sure you're planning how you do that. Planning is in a different program, guys, not in my program. Just planning when you're going to do both. I'm a former Weight Watcher and I'm used to measuring and weighing everything. It's stressing me not to weigh and measure. It's okay not to do that, but try realistic portion sizes. It's fine. You'll get used to it. The only way for you to get used to it is to not go back to doing it because you're afraid that you'll gain weight or something. Just start proving to yourself you don't need to weigh and measure everything, that you can listen to your body. I am not working on what I'm eating my first week. I've decided to work on my 2-2. Is that okay? It's perfect. I think it's fine. I just got a text from a stepmother that there's a farewell dinner for my aunt or dinner at her house. How do I plan for that? I don't know. Like I would just be like, okay, I'm going to my aunt's house. I don't know what they're going to be serving. So I'm going to eat my 2-2. I'm going to go make good, better, best choices. Like whatever it is that you want. Like I'm not going to just fuck it eat. You can just decide ahead of time what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. It's not an emergency though. I just want you to understand you're going to a farewell dinner. It's about the farewell. It's not about what you're going to eat. Like that is one of the things you guys forget. Like you get invited to these things, you make it all about the food. Oh my God, it's all about the food. It's all about my weight loss. It's all about this. Like, no, it's your aunt's farewell dinner. Food is the backdrop. We're saying goodbye to our aunt. What if we just like, I need to visualize what I'm going to say to her. I need to make sure that I spend time with her. I need to make sure I say these things, make sure that like I appreciate all of this. And then while I'm there, I'm going to eat 2-2. The dinner is not all of it, unless you decide to make the dinner the most important thing. Any advice for people with sleep apnea? Even with the CPAP, it's tough to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. I would post that in the tribe for sure. We have a lot of people that have done the CPAP stuff. I have not had a CPAP, so I'm probably the worst to ask questions on for this one. But that is a tribe question that you will get a lot of help on. I'm a night eater and a beginner. I'd like to plan for a sweet treat after dinner. Then I would do that. Are there any sweets you recommend for after dinner that are not typical triggers? No. I would just plan what you want to have, and I would start with what you want to have and remember that you're eating 2 to 2. What is the best self statements so that I'm not comparing myself to others, such as when reading the Facebook group? Their journey is theirs and mine is mine. I am learning that I need to focus on me, because here's the thing. When you start focusing on what other people are doing, it's because you're not willing to focus on yourself. The only reason why we compare ourselves to other people is because we're not building ourselves up first. If you're willing to always think, I'm doing what's best for me. Like, I'm willing to learn from these people, but I'm not supposed to be where they're at. I'm not supposed to do any of that. You know what I am? Taking it at my pace. I'm whatever it is. When you have when you start shifting your internal conversation to be lush and delicious and wonderful about you, suddenly you start appreciating the successes other people are having and you are not jealous of them. The only time we're jealous or worried or fearful or whatever comes up for us when we watch other people's stuff and compare is because we're not doing a good job on talking to ourselves. Seriously. We won't judge against ourselves and we won't judge others when we don't judge ourselves. How long does it take to get the planner that we send every day that the planners are ordered? We send it straight to the guy the next day and then they start shipping. So it shouldn't be but a few days. I try to add variety with my first meal, but I really love oatmeal, banana, and chia seeds. Is it okay to eat that every day? Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. It's what you want. I am going to start the coffee in the morning. The cocoa butter I bought is shaped in discs. How many of these should I be using? Whatever it says on the package is what I would use. There's all kinds. Whatever the serving size is what I would use. Do you come up with a new storyline on your own as they seem doable? Like, I no longer eat in my car. Yeah, that's exactly what you do, Wendy. Those are called coming up with new thoughts. So I would start coming up with the ones you want. When does your body get used to the amount of water? I feel like I'm living in the bathroom. Well, most people should be going to the bathroom about every 45 minutes to an hour. That's what the human body was designed to void. And so if you're properly hydrated, that's about it. So a lot of you like are not used to drinking enough water for your body. And so you're like, oh my God, this is so abnormal. It's like, no, sitting around and not needing to pee for 3 to 4 hours is abnormal. I do. Bulletproof coffee. What do you think of the coffee is flavored? It's fine if you have flavored coffee. As my weight loss slows down and it looks like I'm not going to reach my goal, should I change my timeline or should I wait and stay the course? I thought about changing and then had a dump. Caught me up a lot. I still would have to lose an unreasonable amount weekly to get there. Thank you. I would just change it. Just change your timeline and be like saying, I'm willing to change my timeline. It might take me a little bit longer, but hell, guess what? I'm still losing weight. I drink too much Diet Coke and not enough water. My brain knows it's bad. This is scary. And yet I have terrible. What is this? My brain knows it's bad for me, but my cravings and bad choices win out. This is a scary and yet important place for me to start. I have terrible guilt over this. I'm not sure what you're terrible guilt is. Your terrible guilt, I guess, over having Diet Coke. I would just make sure that you get a diet. You can have a Diet Coke and a glass of water, but the water has to come first. Then you get to drink the Diet Coke. And you just keep doing that until you get to the point to where you start being really overhydrated a little bit. And you're like, oh, I don't know if I need the Diet Coke. Try starting there. If I eat 2 to 2 for breakfast, but then I'm not hungry for lunch, does that mean I'm overeating at breakfast? It could be. You try dialing if you want to be able to have lunch, I would just dial my breakfast back a little bit. I noticed that I get a Charlie horse at night. I am drinking 72 ounces a day. You're probably going to need to add a little bit more salt to your diet, or it could be magnesium. So you could, like I do, you can do natural calm, ask in the Facebook group about Charlie horses. And then people will, if you go, there's like I take something every night called Sleep Remedy, but it's expensive, but you can also just take natural calm that will help with magnesium. Do you recommend readings on retraining the tongue? I would Google it. I would definitely Google that, Melinda. It is a very true thing. The reason I learned it was because when Logan was little, he went through OT, occupational therapy. And one of the, they worked with him on some of his, he had a little bit of texture issues. He's always loved like lots of healthy foods, but he had a little bit of texture issues and she talked to me about it. So since starting, I've noticed that I'm rarely ever hungry. I do my plans, but half the time don't even eat everything that's on this. Is that okay? Yes, Chrissy. And eventually you will be hungry. So don't be panicky when your hunger starts kicking back in. I had two overeats last week and decided to punish myself in the gym immediately after. We no longer do that. This has been a habit that I've tried to break. I still do recovery sheets, but I did them after the gym. No, you do recovery sheets first. We do not go to the gym. We do a recovery sheet and you need to tell yourself, like the gym does not solve an overeat ever. The gym sets my weight loss behind every single time. Like I would start telling myself that because you've got to break the thought that somehow going to the gym is somehow purging this out. I would make a rule with myself that if I overeat, I do recovery worksheets and I have to wait. And if I go to the gym, like I would even start with, if you do go to the gym, you only get to be there for 15 minutes. Do what you can in 15 minutes, but that's all you get until you get to the point where you really understand that that gym, that that is just a habit and that's got to be broke. But you're going to have to come up with your own personal boundaries you honor. What are the regular scheduled PMP meetings for newbies? Is there a calendar that I can plan from? There's no. This is the only one that's regularly scheduled for newbies. Everything else will be tribe stuff and you newbies will just answer questions there. I do weekly calls all the time. So if you just go to pnptribe.com, scroll down to the training calendar, you are going to see there is no shortage of opportunities to be able to see me talk, hear me do things, and ask questions. I saw there's a 95-page manual to print out. That is the No BS book. And the notebook that you ordered from me, that is your planner. That's where you're actually going to do all of your planning and stuff. That's the No BS workbook. You don't have to print that off if you don't want to. You can just read it if you prefer. That's why we have it in PDF format. I'm working on my 2-2, but I'm finding when I get hungry, I go to make something to eat and suddenly seem ravenous. I feel like I need to eat something now. I'm not sure if I'm missing my 2 or if it's something just psychological. It's probably psychological. Day one and I've had 2 off-plan eats already. Yeah, I would just tell myself, I feel ravenous only because this is new, but I'm still only going to eat to my 2. Set yourself up ahead of time to only do that. Keep doing your worksheets and I promise you it will level out. But you have to tell yourself before you're like, rather than going like, oh, I'm ravenous, because this is what will happen. It will be like, oh, I'm ravenous. And you'll tell it to yourself like it's a fact. That's a thought you keep thinking. When you go to make your food, just say, I am at a -2. I refuse to be ravenous. I will eat only to my 2. Talk to yourself that way. Eating out. How to plan if you don't know where you are going? Exactly like you would plan anything else. What are you willing to have? I kind of answered that already. For example, we had talked about going to Chipotle. We ended up going to sushi. Okay. Would it be better to plan to eat to 2, no alcohol? Yes. Susan, if you go, where do I sign up for Queen's Club? Betsy, will you post the link inside of the chat? Do you recommend that we take our planner everywhere we go? You don't have to take your planner wherever we go. The reason why we have a binder, you can just take the 2 sheets out you need for the day if you need to, and just there you have it. Yesterday was my third day following my 24-hour plan. I stayed up later than I planned last night and got really hungry. I ended up eating a banana for bed. I don't even like bananas, but needed something. It wasn't planned. Should I have went to bed without it? I would have because I didn't have it on my plan. I would have practiced, just been like, sometimes I can go to bed hungry. It's not the end of the world. Like one banana didn't keep you from like ruining your metabolism. You know, like what we always think, like never going to go to sleep is like all that one banana like changed my life. It's like, no, prove to yourself you can just go to bed. I noticed a difference in my eating Monday through Friday versus weekends. I am actually less hungry, eating less on the weekend than during the week. Then plan for that. I'm concerned that maybe the work day stress is causing me to eat too much. What any suggestions for work day eating? I plan. And if you're hungry, eat. And if you're not, don't. Like, I just don't want you to make it more complicated than that. I lost 40 pounds of fasting low carb in 2017. It stopped working after 5 months, and doubling down just led to weight gain. Now my brain wants to go back to that method. And when I do for a few weeks, it doesn't work like it did before. I need new thoughts because I'm stuck in thinking. Yeah, here's the thing. I would tell myself, it's such a lie for me to ever believe that ever worked. Here's how you have proof it didn't work. You know what your proof is? When you try it now, it doesn't work and you regained your weight. It never worked. You think it worked because you lost weight. It's like, no, it lost some weight that caused a rebound. And you have to tell yourself a new story about it. And that's what I'd be telling myself. Is this Zoom an app and I have to download, or will it always be a live link to a live session? There's always a live link, but if you come through on your phone, you'll need the Zoom app. What are your best tips to help with mindless snacking during cooking? I've already talked about that. I'm going to a big Polish wedding shower today. Whoop, whoop. Lots of Polish food and alcohol. How do I navigate this today? Make a plan. You need to know how many drinks you're going to have. You need to know, are you going to eat 2 to 2? If you know you're going to a Polish wedding, you probably know the kinds of Polish food that's going to be there. And you're like, these are the things I'll have and these are the things I won't. Are you going to have wedding cake or not? Like that, you just start working through it. The 24-hour plan we do every single day. Somebody asked about the difference. She's confused between a 24-hour and a weekly plan. In module 2, you'll learn about the weekly plan. That is for people who would like to plan further out. So sometimes people like to plan further out. You do not have to do a weekly plan. You can stick with just your 24-hour plans. Is it normal to feel headachy and tired initially when listening to 2 to 2? It could. You could either be waiting a little too long, or it could be if you're cleaning your food up at the same time, you're noticing that. It also could just be like, oh God, like I never wait until I'm hungry. I've always stayed so like satisfied to, like most of us eat, like we start eating when we get to satisfied and then we go back to full, that we don't even understand what it's like to be a little hungry in our body. Is there a printable version of the hunger scale? Yes. If you go to your workbook in the No BS, we have like a hunger scale worksheet in there. How do I connect to a support Facebook group that I identify with? There are lists somewhere. There are so many PMP tribe comments. Yeah. So this is on Monday. Tomorrow, what's going to happen is there's going to be a post in there. So you'll just go to the tribe Facebook group. In the search bar, type in hashtag daily post. The Monday post will come up. That will be like all the people who are going to post for the week who want an accountability partner. You also can just make your own post and say like, here I am. My name is Reza. I'm this age. I would like to find other people who like these things. I'm trying to lose this amount of weight. I prefer to meet on text, or I prefer to Facebook message. I want to talk every day or once a week or whatever it is. Who would like to be an accountability partner? People will reply to your comments. They will, like, you guys will self-select out. You can always tag, like, if you come back and, like, you just haven't had anyone, tag Mary Jo, and she will work with making sure that we help you find some other people. Hi, I may not have gotten to this part yet. Oh, and by the way, guys, the Facebook group will severely slow down after everybody quits introducing themselves. Like, if you think about it, like, it will drop 50% in there in about a week, and not even that long, probably by the middle, because nobody else is new getting added, but we have people who will just start coming in. What's the difference between throwing away food and just not eating the full portion, providing smaller portions? Either way, honestly, it's like some people though have like such a problem with throwing away food that we teach them to throw it away for a little bit just to get used to the idea of not finishing and noticing that the world doesn't stop spinning because you throw some food away. I've been tracking my food, water, and exercise in my Fitness Pal forever. I have a streak going, for 1,100 days. I understand I have to stop counting calories, but the thought of breaking my streak makes me cringe. Can we say perfectionism? Yeah. I just would be like, I want you to really think about this. You're cringing over not tracking your calories anymore. You're putting yourself through that emotional drama over a streak in a free app. I had to quit being like all tied to my Fitbit. The day that I lowered my steps, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this. And then I did. And I was like, well, it was not nearly as dramatic as I thought it was going to be. It's over. I did not get my week one email and it's not in my junk folder. I emailed support earlier. I used to get emails almost daily from PNP. Yeah, you're not going to get them daily from PNP anymore because we're going to be like sending them to only what you need. Caroline, just make sure if you emailed support, she'll get back to you. This morning happens to be our team call and Sadie probably has email that she's going through all day long. So don't worry. She will get back in touch with you. There is not a special, everybody, there's not a special April group for newbies. Everybody was put into the tribe. I'm looking for suggestions on drinking water. I've already talked about that. How do I build up believing in myself when I'm used to giving up? How do I tell myself I'm all worth this? You start telling yourself that. I know that sounds crazy, but it's going to be a deliberate practice of saying, I'm worth all of this. You'll have to say it when you don't believe it. Like that belief can never be founded unless the conversation is started. And that requires you to do it a lot. And then as far as how do I build up believing in myself when I'm used to giving up, you have to quit giving up. You have to find ways to just be like, this is the time when I would do some work ahead of time. Like I would just take a piece of paper and I'd write down, here's the times I'm used to giving up. And I won't do that anymore by doing this. What are ways that I will keep showing up no matter what? Like, that's the key. I know you guys want like some kind of like, oh, so now not giving up is easy. So now believing in myself is easy. It's like, no, it's not easy. It is a process of it not being easy and you've been willing to do it. Like telling your, like, are you willing to tell yourself 1,000 times a day, I'm worth it, I'm worth it, I'm worth it, and go through the uncomfortableness, the disbelief, the it feeling skeezball, all that kind of stuff. Is it worth all of that to someday feel worth it? Yes, it is. And that's what you tell yourself. And then like, how do I get over, like, how do I believe in myself not to give up? You have to tell yourself, giving up is no longer an option. And you do that every single day. You tell yourself that all the time. The giving up is no longer an option. And every time I want to do it, I stop myself and I figure out what's my next best decision. Just what is the next best decision? Is it reaching out for help, asking a question, pushing play on a podcast, whatever it is? I'm going to take action rather than giving up action. The day I joined the tribe, my doctor said my cholesterol is high. I'm not good with omitting foods. It's such a trigger for me. I'm making healthier choices, but I'm not giving up my eggs. My question is, is losing weight enough to drop my numbers? I'd start walking a little bit and I'd start just like, here's what will help your cholesterol. You making small choices and changes along the way, and that will do it. Do not like, here's the thing. Here's what we know won't work. If you know that cutting a bunch of shit out is going to cause you to like binge or like overeat and whatnot, that don't work either. So let's just plan them in small amounts now and just slowly put our toe into the water of making changes so that you can build your momentum. I'm loving PNP. I had an overdrink last night, 4 glasses of wine instead of my 3. I'm not coming up with thoughts or feelings that ring true to me. So I guess the question is how to dial in the reason for the over drink. I'm going to tell you, when you're on the 3rd glass of wine, probably the reason why you can't come up with a thought is because it was like, one more won't hurt. This is fun. Like your buzz was talking. It's going to be you practicing. How do I have a buzz and not drink more? Or this is what will work. This is what really worked for me. I knew for a long, like I was a 4 to 5 glass girl, right? So forever on date night, I planned like 4 and 5 glasses. And for a while, I would drink them. And I would wake up the next morning and I would write about how I felt that morning. And eventually I was like, shit, I had wrote so many times about how terrible I felt. Like I started noticing, I used to tell myself the story that I could drink like that and be fine the next day, until I started comparing how I felt on days I didn't drink to the days I did. And I started noticing headaches and my workouts weren't as great. Like there was like all these little things. And then the story became more real and it made it a lot easier to start really taking it back a notch. I've recently started a new job after being unemployed for a long time. I'm still nervous about performing well. I noticed I'm having a problem switching from work week to weekend on Friday nights. Lots of binge. Oh my God, you plan that binge. Next Friday, you need to have whatever your binge was this week, make an identical thing from this Friday, and then you sit down with all that binge food out. And then you go. And you'll either eat it or you won't, but it'll be a very different experience because you won't be reacting to stress. You will be having a planned binge. It's not as fun. It's not as numbing. You won't dial out. Your brain will be on fire with thoughts. And that's what you want. Do you need to include the amount of food for each item on the 24-hour plan? No. Is the information on the No BS podcast the same as found on the website? Yes. I went off plan because we changed what we were doing for dinner. I planned for pizza and salad, and then we went to pho. I leveled up and had a chicken, cabbage salad, and tofu rolls. We ate at like 4. At 8:30, my stomach was grumbling. Do I work through that or allow myself a healthy snack? Because I wound up having a handful of veggie crisp and water. You can go either way. You just need to track it. Whichever one you want to do, just track it and watch and just eventually you'll either want it or you won't. Do you carry your planner? Is it best to write down ASAP or wait until the end of the day? I don't carry my planner. I do mine at the end of the day. So I start my day and what I do, this is how I like to do mine. I start my day making my 24-hour plan. And then the next morning I do my 24-hour plan. And then I do my assessment from the day before. Some people like to do their plan in the morning and then they like to do their assessment at night in the beginning. Whatever you will do consistently is what I want you to do. I'm afraid that if I overplan like you suggest, I will take a step backwards and gain weight. Sorry, I guess that's not a question, but any advice? Do it anyway. Here's what I know. If you underplan and overeat, you're not going to lose weight either. So I'd rather you overplan and give yourself the option and to see if you're actually hungry and not have to break plans. I want you guys to be 100% committed to yourselves. The only, like, you've got to learn how to just do what you say you're going to do. What does the W under the HGO part stand for on the 24-hour plan? It can be water or workout. It depends. Can you talk about honing what a plus two feels like? Dana, what I would do is I would post that in the tribe because I've kind of already talked about it here. I talk about it in the video also in unit 4. I'd post in the tribe and let other people, like you will get like a lot of people who will say, this is what my plus two feels like because everybody is different and you'll probably find someone like, oh, that right there, that's what it feels like for me. What does level up mean? It means do a little bit better. Leveling up just means like I'm having apple pie. A level up might be apple and peanut butter now, or it might be apple with a little bit of frozen yogurt instead. Leveling up just means making a small, better choice. If I have an exception planned, which is in module 2, 2 slices of pizza and I eat maybe 1.5 slices, is it considered an overeat? If you planned 2 and you only ate 1.5, that's not an overeat. Is it considered, oh, if you finish the other, no. Well, if you feel like you're plus 3 or 4, it is. If you go above a 2, that is an overeat, no matter what you planned. We're planning. And then anytime we eat plus a plus 2, then we know we're overeating. We have to question, like, why are we choosing to eat more than what our body is saying it needs, regardless of what we planned? Do you have a suggestion on how frequently to level up protocols? I tell the people, you will know when you want to level them up, but a lot of people don't level up protocols, like maybe once a month. If you feel like you want to, that kind of thing. We have a lot of girls that change their protocol. Like they do an evaluation on, like when they do, when they like end the month, they think about, all right, do I want to change my protocol at all or not? Can water additions like Mio and stuff be on our 24? You can have that all you want. Last weekend, I fell and needed 24 stitches in my arm. I was on antibiotics every day and painkillers. I needed to eat when I took them. I'm trying to get my shit together today, food prepping, beating the shit out of myself because I overate and didn't plan last week. How can I get out of my head and just move forward? Say, if I decide to live in the past, I'm going to keep replicating my past. I can, like, today get started and say, like, that part's done, moving on. That's what I would tell myself. You ain't got no time for that pity party. Just be done. It's a lot easier to, like, relive your past than it is to get busy doing healthy shit today. Looking for some questions. Some of you are just putting some statements in here. I did a recovery worksheet yesterday from off-plan overeat. I felt extremely guilty and it weighed on me all day. I know this is just the start and I won't be perfect or ever be perfect. Do you have any suggestions on how to release the guilt associated with overeating and doing the worksheets? I would just tell myself, guilt is always driven by how I'm thinking. Like, when you start feeling guilty and say, and it's because I'm choosing to think something right now that causes guilt, which has been like, I did my recovery worksheet. I'm learning. This is part of my process. It's natural if you've always felt guilty to keep feeling guilty. But I want you to understand that this is just like, this is just how I'm thinking. Guys, I'm going to wrap this up in about 5 minutes. So if I didn't get to your question, take it over to Facebook and ask there, or you can take it to Ask Coaches, either one, and it will get answered. The only reason is because now there's lots of duplicates and I'm having to read through them, and I've got coaching that starts at 2:00. And if you're wanting to know what that is, that's where I will be coaching people live, and I will not be taking questions on that call. What are some things that I can do to make restless or anxious a lot and eat to make that feeling go away? I would listen to some of the calls I've coached on anxiety. So if you go to video replays inside of pnptribe.com, look for feelings is the category. And then once you're in feelings category, search anxiety. I've done a lot of coaching calls on it. I would watch some of those because most people do eat based upon their feelings. I have my last 10 pounds to lose. I'm doing the basics. Should I eat less food? No, you should just do the basics. The last 10 pounds or the first 10 pounds. It is the same process. That is what most people hose themselves on. You just quit overeating. Like, that's what the four basics is all about. Do we need to be exercising? No. If you want to exercise and continue to exercise, you can. You do not need to start an exercise program at all. The exercise, guys, does not cause your weight loss. Your thoughts and your mouth causes weight loss. How you think about yourself, how you think about exercise, how you think about your food, how you think about things is what will cause you to either overeat or not overeat, or to eat on plan. I have a tendency to think my boyfriend thinks I don't know what a swell is. I make comments to him about it and it starts fights. How do I start to change my brain to improve our relationship? I want to be confident. I have negative thoughts about the way I look and I feel fat and ugly. I have a tendency to think my boyfriend thinks I am also. I make comments to him about it and it starts fights. Stop making the comments. Like, here's the thing. If you want to be confident about your body, you have to change your internal conversation about you. You're projecting your insecurities on him. It's like you want it to be like true because you keep telling yourself it's true. So now you want somebody else to validate it. It's like, what I want you to do is I want you to talk really nice to yourself and learn how to talk really nice to yourself. You need to, like, every day probably write 10 things down you're willing to start practicing believing about you and your body and your relationship with your boyfriend. The 10 things I want to believe. And then I would write them down every single day. And I would think about them, and that's where I would start. You say not to look at calories when planning our food, but isn't that part of making healthier choices? No. An avocado by calorie is never going to be like, if it's like, if we're going by just calories, avocado, oils, nuts, all that kind of stuff, it's never going to win out. And yet we absolutely need them. That is some badass diet advice right there. You need to just remember, you can look at, like, it's hard to resist looking at those numbers. Look at the numbers, but you need to tell yourself when you look at the numbers, say like, that has nothing to do. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, there's, what are those like fake ass noodles? All of those, what are those farms foods that are just full of chemicals and they're like 0 calories, 10 calories or whatever. That shit is so fucking unhealthy. It is Walden Farms stuff. Like, all of that's low calorie. And it's like, isn't that part of health and making better choices? No, it's not. It's fostering you wanting those foods. I'm like, just have the real thing and let your body enjoy the vitamins and the nutrients. So going by calories is not the healthiest way to go. My weight has been steady up and down 5 pounds since the holidays after losing 50. I'm having thoughts about being stalled or stuck. What are some replacement thoughts I could practice that might help the progress? The next bit of weight will be easier when I start focusing on my actions. That's what I would tell myself. Get into your actions. If you're stalled, it's not because you've lost 50 pounds and it's the hard part. It's because you're not eating like somebody who wants to lose the next 10 pounds. So where are the places I can level up? Okay, a lot of this is water questions. If I end up with a question after, if you miss out on a live training session, how can I get a question answered? Ask coaches. It will be answered within 24 hours. PNPtribe.com, go to Ask Coaches, and you can ask any question you want there. I couldn't see the videos of the orientation on my laptop, iPad, or iPhone. Karen, you'll need to email support@PNPtribe.com so we can help you diagnose. Do you believe that everyone who is here has the hate, self-hate, fat girl thinking? No, I don't. Not everybody has that. Other than my overweight reflection making me sad in the moment, I don't feel like I hate myself. What if I just overeat because I love the taste of food? Nobody overeats because they just love the taste of food. Because here's the thing. I love the taste of overfood. I mean, I love the taste of food and I don't overeat. That's how we know that that's not how it's caused. We're always overeating because we're not willing to tell ourselves no. We're not willing to prioritize our goal above the way the food tastes. Like, there's a lot of emotional reasons why. It doesn't always have to be that that I hate myself or something's wrong. My question would be like, okay, if you love the taste of food, can you love it in a reasonable amount just as well? Yes, we can. Why do you feel the need to overstuff yourself with that same amount of food? Well, because I just want it. So why do you feel so entitled to just have that versus feeling very entitled toward your weight loss goal? That's when you're sort of like, oh, wow. Like, I didn't even know all that was going on. And that's the beauty of being in the tribe, because that's what we're going to be working on in the next few weeks. Okay. I'm going to have to call it there, guys, because I have to get ready for the next call. So anything that didn't get answered on this call, take it to Ask Coaches or take it to the Facebook group. A lot of the questions, guys, you would be better off having a collective group of people answering rather than just me answering it, because you'll get so much good advice. And that's where the conversations in the tribe start to change, where it's not just we're all introducing ourselves, we're all getting to know each other. It's like, oh, this is like going to school now. And that makes it a very amazing experience. So I will see some of you in 20 minutes for coaching. If you're interested in that, you do not need to attend it. If you need to go get your week done, if you need to go wash your clothes, you need to food prep, you need to take a walk, if you need to just take a nap, whatever it is that you need to do. I just want you newbies to know you are in the right place. As I feel it in my heart that what we are teaching you is what you need to know, as long as you are willing to be like, I might have some stuff that feels weird about this being okay, but that's just my stuff and I'm willing to get over it. So just keep going with us. Don't give up on you. We are going to teach you every single thing that we can to help you not only achieve the weight loss you want, but to help you build the life you want. All right. What am I coaching on? Everything that I do is always available just on the last note. Everything I do, everything I teach, everything I say will be in the podcast player and on video replays within 24 hours. So do not worry that you, if you miss something, you won't see it. You have the opportunity at all times. Bye, y'all.